Gemara. Chaf Hav Hamad Aleph, 41. Masnisin. Chasim rotzeh likros es hashma shma b'layla rishon lechasim. A person who is getting married, even though he doesn't have to read shma the first night after he gets married, korei if he wants to, he's allowed to. Shingol miomer lo kol rotzeh litos hashem. Not everybody wants to take the name of a pious person and read the shma when he's exempt from doing so, is allowed to do so. Tani we learn kol davar shu shotzar. Now this is a very basic Yerushalmi we're about to learn here, a very fundamental concept. A person who's not a Talmud Chacham should not act as if he is a Talmud Chacham. Except, says the Gemara, kol davar shu shotzar, any time the issue involved causes the person anguish, then kol rotzeh la'asah atzmo yochid oseh, anybody wants to make himself an individual. In other words, he wants to make himself pious, allowed to do so, i.e., Talmud Chacham, a person wants to act as a Talmud Chacham, he's also, he's permitted to do so, v'tavo lo bracha, and he's blessed for it. In other words, if it's something which is hard to do, he's allowed to engage in that behavior. On the contrary, it's laudable for him to engage in that behavior. However, kol davar shu shel shevach, anytime it's something where he stands to gain praise for it, and there's no anguish involved. In other words, he's not afflicting himself, he's just going and acting as if he's a scholar, and there's no pain involved in doing so. For instance, maybe he dresses, you know, with a long coat and a round hat, or maybe he does things like he goes and he's very makbid on wearing his talus over his head, or things like that, do not entail any of the negative difficulties of being a Talmud Chacham. If a person is makbid only on the things which are positive signs of being a person of prowess, he's not allowed to do so. Loka rotel kol davar shu shevach, anything which is a praise for him. Loka rotel lasu satzmo yachid. Not anybody wants to make himself into an individual's outstanding. Osa is permitted to do so. Talmud Chacham Osa, is he permitted to make himself into a Talmud Chacham? Ella, and here's the Yerushalmi draws the distinction. Ella came minu oso parnas al tzibur, unless he's a community leader. In other words, the rav of a community is expected to act in a certain specific way. A person who is appointed to a position of leadership is expected to act in a specific way. Such a person can even take upon himself those things which are not painful or difficult, but even those things which are, so to speak, the accoutrements of the office that he's allowed to do. Okay? Now we have a maisa concerning this. Tani, we learned there b'raisa. Mistalkin litzdadim. We learned that Mivnei Yisrael is drachim. When
I'm sorry.
Yes.
When he says Talmud Chacham Osa, which implies that, you know, he can't. It's optional.
No. This is the way to read it. See, it's difficult. It's not easy to read. I tried to find alternate girsa, but I can't. So I'm going to tell you this is the way I believe it's supposed to be read. Loko wrote to Lazo Satmo Yochid Osa Talmud Chacham Osa. Not everybody wants to make himself into Yochid. Or a Talmud Chacham may do so. In other words, one of those roads, Osa, is really extraneous. It should be local roads to Lazo Satsmo, Yachi Talmud Chacham Osa, right? But I couldn't find anybody who takes on the second Osa, but that's really how to read it. If you read it the other way, which is to Gloka Rotz Lasat Mo Yachid Ose, but a Talmud Chacham is Ose, then you just lead to all sorts of trouble. It doesn't work out in the sugya.
What's Ose?
Can't do so. So it says, Martani, we learned the Braisa. Mistalkin Litzdodim, Mibnei Yisaydos Adrachim. In the summer, when it's very difficult to walk because there are a lot of peaks and valleys in the road, because obviously there are the places where there are ruts. In the winter have now dried and it's difficult to walk. So Mistalkin, so you're allowed to walk. Mimnei Yisaydos Drachim. Because of the, you're allowed to walk on the sides, even through people's fields. This we know is one of the takonos Yeshua made when he divided up Eretz Yisrael, that people should have the right to walk on the sides of the road when it's difficult to walk in the road. Now, there are many different ways of how to read this line. I'm going to read it the way I feel I understand the best. When in the middle of the winter, when it's really muddy, and it's very, very difficult to walk, you could even walk in a field which is full of saffron. And even though saffron is a very expensive spice, unless you're allowed to walk there, again, because this is the Takana Yeshua made when he divided up Eretz Yisrael, you're allowed to walk on the roadside through the fields. There was a Ma'aser Chamer Gamliel Rabbi Shua Shuba Derech. They were all walking down the road. They said, they're going to the side because of all the peaks and valleys, literally the spikes in the road. Veroz Rabbi Yudah Ben Papus. They saw him in Papus Shaya Mishtakeya Uvakenegdan, that he was going up and down and up and down into the roadbed because it was very difficult to walk, but he was walking in the middle on the road. Now they felt this was a sign of excessive piousness on his part. He was so showing that he had a very high degree of piety, and therefore he was walking in the middle. He didn't want to take advantage of this condition which Yeshua made when they divided up Eretz Yisrael. So Amran Gamliel the Rebbe Shua, me who's Zeh, Shemar Atzpo Batzpar. Who's this person who's pointing himself out with a finger? In other words, he's showing that he is a pious and righteous individual. Amrlo, he said, no, this person, you should know. It's Yehuda ben Papusu. He's Yehuda ben Papus, Shekol Maisel L'Shem Shamayim. Everything he does for the sake of heaven. And therefore he's indeed a pious person. Says more, okay, Omar Lay, however, Rabbi Yeshua, back to Gamliel, for Lo Kintani, have we learned, Kol Devar Shushol Shevach, Lo Kol Rotsa Lasus Atzmo, Kol Tamid Yochid Ose, Tamid Chocham Ose, then we learn anything which is a praise to an individual. Not everybody wants to make himself into an outstanding person. Until Talmud Chacham is allowed to do so, Helen K. Minos Oparnas Altiv, unless he's been appointed to be a leader of the congregation. And Yudav and Papus, he might be a nice guy, but he's not a leader. So Amar Leis, so Rabbi Gamliel retorted, for Atani, didn't we learn on the other end, Kol Dover Shol Tzar, anytime it causes a person pain, Kol Rotsa Lasos Atzmo Yochid, a person wants to make himself into an outstanding person, Osa is allowed to do so, Tam Chochem Osa wants to make himself into a Tam Chochem is allowed to do so, V'tova La Bracha, and let him be blessed.
That's really the retort of
Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua, I'm sorry, I apologize. So Rabbi Yeshua says, yes, but here it's a Davar Shel Tzar. In other words, here he's causing himself anguish. He has to go up and down and up and down. So therefore, he's allowed to do so.
This may be extraneous, but this seems to be it's almost the personalities of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel are almost reflected.
It's not extraneous, it's certainly germane. Yes, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua were always getting into tips like this because Rabbi Gamliel was very, very elitist. He was the leader. He was the Nazi. Rabbi Shua was much more of a Dalmakav Schus. Yes.
Okay. Yes.
It certainly is true. Yes.
Yehuda
ben Papus.
He's not pointing himself out saying, why don't you all do what I'm doing?
Oh, no. Look at the next line. I'm Rabbi Zira. Rabbi Zira said to justify Rabbi Gamliel, who be chuch lo yivzeh haranin. But as long as you don't embarrass others. In other words, it was an embarrassment to Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua here. Because Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua were not walking on the road, they were walking on the side. That's where Rabbi Gamliel took umbrage. Rabbi Yeshua defended the Yehuda ben Papus. But Rabbi Gamliel's point is, here we are walking on the sides through the fields. He's showing us up by walking in the middle. Okay, so that was...
Was he flaunting it?
No. That's what Rabbi Shua's limud chus. That's what Rabbi Shua is saying. But Rabbi Zira is explaining what went on in Rabbi Gamliel's mind was he wasn't coming completely out of left field when he said this. Okay? Dilma, there was a maisa with Rabbi Yasa. Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak with Rabbi Yasa or Shmuel bar Yitzchak. By the way, Rabbi Yasa I saw today is the same person who in Talmud Bavli is called Rabbi Yasi. And you turn around the letters, and that's what it is. Yasa, Asi. So Rabbi Yasa, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yitzchak, have Yasvin. They were sitting, ochlin, and they were eating. B'chadim in ilay knishta elisa, one of the upper rooms in the shul, right? Knishta is the shul, elisa means one of the upper rooms. Asas onsa d'tzloisa, the time came to David. V'kom Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yitzchak, mitzluya. So Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yitzchak got up, matzluya to David. Amalei Rav Meisha, so Rav Meisha said to him, hey, Lokein Alfon, Rebbe, didn't Rebbe teach us? I know Rav Meisha got in here, he wasn't mentioned, one of the people sitting there, but I guess a bunch of people sitting there. Lokein Alfon, Rebbe, didn't Rebbe teach us? I'm not sure who Rebbe is, maybe it's Rabbi Yasa himself, but didn't Rebbe teach us? Once you start eating, you don't have to stop eating in order to daven. You can finish your meal and then daven afterwards. So why are you getting up? Tani Chizkiya, didn't Chizkiya say? And then we learn name of Chizkiya. Call me Shua, Potter me Dover. Anybody who's exempt from something, Voseo, and does it, Nikro Hedyot is called an idiot. So therefore, why are you getting up in the middle of the meal and going to daven? Amar Lei, so he said, no, I'm allowed to do so. For Atzinian, didn't we learn that Chosin Potter me Kriyashma, a Chosin is Potter from Shema, but Chosin im Rotze. The chas can also reach ma if he wants, right? So therefore, I want to go daven. Amar lei, so he said, wait, for Lord Ram Gamlielu, Isaran Gamlielu said, if the chas wants to, we can daven, and we don't paskin like Rabbi Ram Gamlielu. Amar lei, so responded, Rabbi Shmuel Yitzchak said, Yachilana pata krav Ram Gamlielu. I can learn like Ram Gamlielu. After all, Tanakam in our Mishnah, in which the Mishnah on top of the page, which is the Stam Mishnah, that could be Rabban Gamliel as well. And could be this Stam Mishnah is going like Rabban Gamliel. Says Chasim Ratzel Likra Shema B'Lal Rishon Kore. So Stam Mishnah paskins like Rabban Gamliel. I paskin like Rabban Gamliel. So Gamliel Omer, as Gamliel says, Eini Shomei Lechem Levato Mimeni Machu Shemaim. I'm not going to listen to you to not accept upon myself the yoke of heaven. In other words, to exempt myself from Shema. So to hear, he said, I'm not going to listen to you exempt myself from the Tefillah B'Tzibur. Now my assumption is that of course they would have davened later on. That's simple. The Shaila was probably to daven now with the Tzibur, or daven later be Yechidus. So one is not according to the strict letter of the law required to interrupt one's meal to go daven with Tzibur. Yet nonetheless, he felt he wanted to in order to fulfill this concept of being Mekabel Malchus Shemaim.
And here Rav Gamliel seemed to be saying the opposite
of
what I said before.
No, well, why? Rav Gamliel, you mean because...
Here he said you can't?
Yeah, Rav Gamliel said about himself. He said, "Ani eni shomei lechem levato meni omachu shemaim afilu shrachas."
So he's not showing up
to
anyone else.
Well, he's a Nazi. Wait. Bear in mind, also Rav Gamliel is the Parnas Hador. So as the Parnas Hador, he's entitled to do so anyway, right?
That mean the president,
the leader, the Nazi. Yeah.
Where does Lifnim Meshur Sadin come in? We said Yishua always said.
Lifnim Meshur Sadin generally means in Chesh Mishpat, mm-hmm. in spending money, not in personal conduct. In other words, you that which the halacha requires you to do in terms of Chesh Mishpat, you go beyond the letter of the law. It's like Vasisa Yashar V'Tov.
Exactly. On the pasuk of Asisa Yashar V'Tov, I think Ramban talks about that everybody's obligated to go one step further, lifnim meshuras hadin.
But
that's not implied. It applies by all aspects.
But even if that's the case, it would still be, again, when we find the shas generally applies to Choshen Mishpat. But even if it doesn't, it's generally speaking about in a place where it's not public. In other words, here we're talking about public display of pious behavior. Another example is an example which we had a few blot ago, where he spoke about wearing tefillin all day. Where he said people who want to wear tefillin all day need a gufnaki. And we said, according to Rishami, it means if you wanted to engage in that kind of pious behavior, you have to be clean of all types of sinful or potentially negative behavior. So we see here a concept that, although private perhaps, Lifnim Meshurat Hadin is of course well regarded, but in public you have to be very careful what you do, unless you're a Parnas al HaTzibur, you're not supposed to behave. Borders on haughtiness, that's really what the problem is. Okay, let's start the new parak. Hajin Loch Koyre, second parak and Brachos finished, third parak. Misha Meisel Mutalifono. If somebody, Rachmana Litzlan, has a dead body before him, his own dead body. Start in the bottom. There's one more line on this page.
Oh.
Tricky, isn't it? There's one more line on page Chafal from it out. Misha Mesa Mutalafana, if somebody's Mesa's before him. Patim Kriya Shema is exempt from Shema and Matfilin. He's an Onan, right? As long as the dead person is not buried, he's an Onan and he's exempt from all mitzvahs, as we'll see in the Gemara. I mean, Matfilin doesn't have to wear Tfilin. No Samita Vichilufayim. The pallbearers, and those who are going to take over from the pallbearers. Chlufi chlufein, those who are going to take over, those who take over from the pallbearers. And Shalif Ne'amita, those who are before the bed, Veshalach Amita, and those which are behind the bed. Makes no difference. Esh Amita Tzarech Bed, those are required in order to bear the bed, meaning the stretch upon which is the dead body. To put Pturin, they're exempt from Shema. Veshen Amita Tzarech Bed, those who are not required in order to bear the dead body. Chayovin, there are mandated to read the Shema. Elu Velu Pturin Min HaTfila, both sets are exempt from davening. Okay, even those who are not directly required for the excuse me, they're not the direct backups, they're just kind of like waiting in the wings if necessary, so they, even those are parted from tefillah. Why? Because tefillah is the Rabbanan, so Rabbanan were more lenient. Kriya Shema is the Raisa, the rabbis were more machin when it came to Shema. Karvus Hameis, once they buried the dead body, the Chazu, and they returned from the cemetery. If they have enough time to say begin Shema and finish it before they reach the lineup, Yaschilu, they should start it. If there's not enough time, lo Yaschilu. Now, what was the lineup? The lineup was, we do a little bit like this nowadays. I don't know if they do it in America, but in Israel they do it. You make two lines. Yeah, I think we do it here too. You make two lines in the cemetery, and the Bavelin pass through and say, Amokim Yenachim. But it used to be a much bigger deal. It used to be like a real receiving line, not just they would rush through. So in the old days, so those, when you were standing shur, of course, you're parted from Shema. So those who would stand in the shur, if you didn't have enough time after the burial to get to the shura and say Shema, so you still were exempt from Shema. When you're standing in the shura, those who are standing on the inside of the lineup where they come into direct contact from the avel, they're exempt from reading Shema. However, those who are standing in the outer rows in the lineup, chayavim, because they're not going to personally console the avel anyway. Noshim va'avodim uktanim, women, slaves, and children, p'turim mikrei Shema, they don't have to say Shema. Minatfilin, they don't have to say, we're putting out tefillin. V'chayavim b'tefillah, they have to daven. Women are mechuyev in tefillah. It's a common misconception that women don't have to daven. Mezuzah, and they also have to mezuzahs on their houses. They also have to bench. Balkari, a person who had an admission or had relations with his wife the night before and hasn't yet gone to the mikvah. Mahara believer, he only thinks Shema in his heart. And he does not make blessings before and after it. We don't pass like this anymore. The Gemara will discuss that. But at the time of the mission, they still required mikveh after one had an admission before doing anything which had to do with Kedusha.
It doesn't apply anymore,
though. No, now we don't apply it, right. But it used to. Says the Gemara, Balkeim, I believe we can only think the Shema Nesar, Veinim Avari can't make a blessing, lo fanev lo achre, not before nor after. Va'amosam Avarech l'achra, v'leinim Avarech l'fara. Balkeri, he can bench, but he doesn't make the bracha beforehand. Okay? And the one was going to discuss all this. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, excuse me, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mevarech Lefanei V'Achrei. Rabbi Yehuda is always more lenient in case of a Baal Keri. Some of you had an admission, says you make a bracha both before and after. Hoy Omid Mitfila, if you're in the middle of davening, if it is crucial Baal Keri, you remembered, whoops, you had an admission last night, lo yavsik, you shouldn't stop in the middle, Eli Katzer, you should daven quick, abbreviate your davening, but finish up. So, Yorad Litvo, let's say you went down to the mikveh, okay? You went down to the mikveh, and im yochol lalos liskasos, if he can come up and cover himself, the likros, and read fully clothed, achlo toni tzacham before sunrise, and then David kivosikin at sunrise, yalav yiskasav yikro. He should come up and clothe himself and say Shema. Vimlav, and if not, so water in the old days was not clear. Nowadays we have clear water, then water was muddy. So therefore you could stand in the water and it would cover your nether half, you know, the bottom, and you could then reach Shema while your head is poking above the water. That would be permitted. However, you shouldn't cover yourself. I should make something, I want to backtrack on something. Here, obviously this Mishnah holds like the opinion which we had in the first parak, that one should preferably read Shema before sunrise. We hold that one could even read after sunrise for the first 3 hours. But we had an opinion in the first Mishnah, in the first parak of the Rama Paskins this way, that l'chatchila one reads Shema before sunrise. After sunrise, it's only b'di'evet. So therefore, according to the Rambam, this Mishnah is very realistic, right? If it's before sunrise, a few moments before sunrise, so we prefer that you say Shema still in the mikveh. So therefore, you only cover half of your body, the bottom half, and that's considered to be an interruption, and then you can read the Shema even while you're still in the water. However, lo yiska say, you shouldn't cover yourself lo b'mayim meroyim. You're allowed to go to the mikveh in brackish water. But it's not a nice place to say Shema. So therefore, in the covering yourself, you shouldn't do it lo b'mayim meroyim, not in the bad, not in bad waters. Lo b'mayim mishra, not in waters which they've soaked flax. I guess it's disgusting water. Achiyati l'tocha mayim, until you pour water, new, clean water, into these waters. Kami yachim menim inatsoa, when you want to reach Shema, how far do you have to distance yourself from these brackish waters and from excrement? Arba amas, 4 amas. Remember, we said in the first parak, this is true even if you're on the seashore and there's this vile mud. You have to distance yourself from it 4 amas. Zav shira keri, a person who had an emission, v'nido shapot shechavazera, a woman who's a nido who also had an emission, v'amashamesh shira sanido, or a woman who had relations and now she saw blood. So all these cases are not clear. It seems like in both all these cases we have a double whammy. But maybe the Gemara will address that. I don't know. We'll see. Shirud tzrichim tevila, they have to go to the mikveh before they read Shema. For Rabbi Yehuda Potter, Rabbi Yehuda says all these people can read Shema even though they haven't gone to the mikveh. Okay. Says the Gemara, now let's talk again about aninus. Tani we learned uminat tefillin. It says in our Mishnah,
are you raising your hand?
Yeah, I just want to ask one question.
What do you mean? Go ahead.
Okay, with the mikveh, yeah, it doesn't have the same role now as it did then. Doesn't mean...
See, we basically abolished... Yeah, we basically abolished the need of mikveh for men.
Yeah.
But in the Gemara, in Brachas, it's a very real issue because they only abolished it very late in the Tanaic period. So therefore, until that time, men had to go to the mikveh whenever they had admissions, not
Why
just
did
women.
They abolish it?
Because people weren't able to do it. It was just not feasible. It wasn't real for pragmatic reasons. Just wasn't they weren't capable of keeping it.
Even when they had admissions with their wife, they had to go?
Yeah, no, of course. Even religious, there was.
Same thing. Anyway, right?
It's all midrabbanan, yes. Midrashos, no, with midrashos, yeah, there's a source for truma. If a Baal Kri wants to eat truma, go to the Beis HaMikdash, she has to go to the mikveh first. Yeah, but not for brachos and all that. No.
For any person to go to Beis HaMikdash, or just the... what's now with a man has like an accident in his sleep or whatever?
No, so that we hold you don't have to nowadays, but there are people who are very makbid on it. It's not as if people... That's why the Hasidim go to the mikveh every day. Among other reasons, there is because of the Tfilas Ezra. That's what Ezra was the one who originally made this takana, and it's not something which is completely abolished. Just the Gemara says you don't have to be makbid on it, but there are still people who are makbid on it.
Okay.
The idea is anytime you have an emission or you have relations with your wife, before you go the next time to daven or to learn, you go to the mikveh. So that means that's why the chassidim go to the mikveh, or not just chassidim, but also some
time.
No. This is only if they don't have time. They're running out of time. If they're Hasidim and they wake up late, then they might have to reach Shema in the mikvah. But we don't do that.
Yeah,
you have to redress. Well, you can cover your bottom half with the water is clear.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. And this is important to point out. He's with some brazen about point. In our mikvahs, you can't say Shema because our mikvahs are considered to be like bathhouses. Because a lot of people walking around naked, they're made to walk around naked. In the old days, they used to go to the mikveh. They didn't have designated mikvahs. They used to travel in rivers and in lakes and in springs and all that. So therefore, they weren't considered to be like bathhouses. So therefore, you could cover your bottom half with the water and say Shema as long as your top half was exposed and your bottom half was not. But nowadays, you cannot say any Dover Shabbat Kedusha in a mikveh. It's considered to be like a bathhouse. It doesn't matter. It's still like a bathroom. You're not supposed to say it even in the bathroom. Okay?
Yeah.
The River Jordan is a good example, a place where one could cover, as one is coming up, mine's bottom half is covered and one could say Shema. Bathing suit is okay, but not in our mikvos. In the swimming pool, yes.
In the river.
In the river, it'd be okay, yes. Okay. The swimming pool is not a valid mikvah, generally speaking. Right.
The most machmir opinion today is that we should, anytime we have a mission, whether it was your wife.
Yes. Yes. That's the most machmir opinion. That's right.
But Lake Michigan's a mikvah?
Lake Michigan is a mikvah, yeah. Lake Michigan is about
the Chicago River.
Not Chicago River, because it's flowing. It has to be, if it's rainwater, it has to be stationary, not flowing. But Lake Michigan is a valid mikvah. Okay? Says Martani, we're not tefillin. We learned cesspools are valid mikvahs too. All right, we have to get a move on. Tani, we learned to be not tefillin. A person who has not yet buried his dad, he has to put on tefillin. He's exempt from tefillin. Avil b'yom rishon, the Gemara says, now we have machlokas about this. And Avil on the first day, after his, in other words, before the mace is buried, ain't a nice and tefillin, doesn't put on tefillin. B'yom sheni, the second day, nice and tefillin does put on tefillin. In bo panim chadoshos, fascinating halacha. In bo panim chadoshos, if new people come to be menachemim who haven't seen him before, so then uchot son kol shiva, he takes it off in their presence. We know Pascha's way, the Gemara is going to say that. But it's an interesting halacha. If new people come, so as a sign of Avelus before them, you have to remove tefillin in your presence. You can't put on tefillin in front of them. Okay? From new people who are coming who have not seen you yet in this Avelus period. Okay?
Even though he's showing other signs of Avelus.
That's right. Morning. Right. Even though he's showing other signs, this is an additional sign which he has to show. On the first and second day of the Avelus, and also in tefillin. On either of the first 2 days, he can't put on tefillin. But Yom HaShlishi, on the third day, you know, in tefillin, on the third day, it's already allowed to put on tefillin. However, Rabbi Yeshua Paskins, in bo ponim chadoshos, if new people arrive, ain't no chos, you don't have to take it off for them. Because you have, as you say, you have other behaviors of Avelus, you don't have to take it off your tefillin.
So Rabbi Yeshua is talking about a period of Avelus, not just being an onay.
No, he goes beyond it, that's correct. All 7 days, right.
So on the third day, you don't have to take it.
Well, let's see how we develop it. Ibn says the Gemara, Ibn Yom HaSheni Eino Nothin Tefillin. So says the Gemara, if on the second day, according to Rabbi Yeshua, he doesn't put on tefillin. Tzurcha Meimar, do you have to tell me Misha Meisel Mutal Farav? In other words, what does Rabbi Yeshua do with our Mishnah? Why does the Mishnah just say Misha Meisel Mutal Farav, which is the first day before the mace is buried? It's obvious, even on the second day after the mace is buried, you don't put on tefillin. Isn't it partial on the first day you don't put on tefillin? Says Maran, no. You're right. So we don't have to say Misha Mason. We don't have to say Misha Mason with the fun of. I'll begin the Tana Da. Once he said the second day, so also mentioned the first day. In other words, Rabbi Lezer will say in our Mishnah that we mentioned this, but they're both included. In other words, we mentioned it's the second day and also the first day, right? So it's a little bit difficult. It's a little bit rocky how you do it, but. Yeah, we're actually both. Excuse me?
Lozu Afsu,
maybe something like that. In other words, yeah, not only this, but even... Yeah, no, the other way. Zuv ain't tzarech lomar zu, right?
So which
that's
one
the question.
That's the question. They don't have to... Lozu Afsu.
It's only the first day.
No, not according to Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says also the second day. Let me just check what the B'nai Moshe says. Well, you're entitled not to like it, but it is Rabbi Yeshua.
Yeah.
Okay?
So is that what we pass?
No.
I can't believe it. No, okay, so I'm misinterpreting. No, we don't pass anyway. So I'm misinterpreting. The B'nai Moshe says, El begin the Tanado, if that's going on Kriyashma. Kriyashma is Taki only the first day. Kriyashma only part the first day, even according to Rabbi Yeshua. That's why the Mishnah says Misha made some mutal fun of. Why doesn't it mention the second day? If the second day you also part the film, let it say the first day and second day, because the Mishnah is also talking about Kriyashma. And Kriyashma only part the from the first day. So that's why the Mishnah said, begin the Tana Da, since it's talking about Shema, Tana Da, so it said tefillin is also only 1 day. But according to Rabbi Yeshua, tefillin is really 2 days, even though Shema is only 1 day. Okay, what are we passing? Rabbi Zira and Rabbi Yirmiyah b'shem Rab, both the name of Rab, halacha k'Rabbi Lezer ben Nisina, halacha k'Rabbi Lezer that we only don't put on tefillin the first day, k'Rabbi Shua b'chalitzah, halacha k'Rabbi Shua that we do not take off the tefillin on any of the other days. And this is, of course, our current custom, that you put on tefillin, you don't put on tefillin the first day. Okay? However, subsequently, on the next 6 days, you do put on tefillin, and when do I say that you, what do I say about removing? That you don't remove the tefillin even if Panim Chadoshos come. Rabbi Zira asked the Shiloh. Nasa biyom asheni k'Rabbi Lezer. He puts that tefillin on the second day, look Rabbi Lezer. Ma'u shiyasa Rabbi Lezer k'Rabbi Yoshua. What about on that day, would Rabbi Lezer hold like Rabbi Yoshua, shlo lachlots not to take it off? Now, he's asking a very cute, very interesting question. Pnei Moshe makes it clear. He says, okay, fine. Want a paskin like Rabbi Lezer, you only exempt the first day. You want a paskin like Rabbi Yeshua that you don't put on tefillin, that you don't take off the tefillin on any of the other subsequent days. But what about the second day? The second day, when somebody comes to visit you, you should take him off no matter what. Mimanav shach, as we say. Because if, like Rabbi Lezer, you take him off because you're cholit tefillin all 7 days if somebody new comes. And like Rabbi Yoshua, you should be taking them off, not because Rabbi Yoshua holds you do chalit, so no, he holds you not cholit. But he holds on the second day, there's no chiv and tefillin anyway. So on the second day, catch 22. No matter which way you look at it, he should take off the tefillin somebody new comes. Because either his parts are all together, like Rabbi Yoshua says, or even like Rabbi Lezer. If Lezer holds, at least he should take them off when people come. So I understand the rest of the days. I could say that I paskin on the third day. Like Rabbi Eliezer, straight. Like Rabbi paskin, Rabbi Eliezer. He's mechuyev in tefillin. And I don't buy, and I paskin, I'm sure he doesn't take them off. And that day, okay, I understand. You don't take off tefillin anywhere than when somebody new comes. But on the second day, even if you paskin Rabbi Yeshua not to take them off normally, but Rabbi Yeshua holds on the second day, you don't wear tefillin altogether. So on that day, how can you wear tefillin when somebody new comes? You should be mechuyev, no matter who you paskin like, to take care of your tefillin.
Are these the only two opinions?
These are the only two opinions, yes.
Last week when we studied that somebody comes to
yeah.
Take it off.
What?
You don't take it off. Last week you said something, there was another thing about the third day.
We're going to get to this later.
But what I'm saying is I asked the same question last week. Does the third day mean something special? It's always there.
The third day diminishes the Avelus. The third day of Avelus always diminishes the Avelus.
But I'm saying that's on this, but on the third day of other days.
No.
No, because you mentioned last week something the third day. So then I said, does that have anything to do with
it? It's possible. I don't remember. Generally speaking, the third day of something changes its status. But we have.
Do we know why the third day?
It's already. The third day is already accustomed. Tzayin Chazaka, there's such a thing. Okay, says Gemara. I'm Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Boon. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Boon said, "Vikini, this is the halacha. Nothing beyond my sheni. If you put on tefillin on the second day, ki Rabbi Elezer, like Rabbi Elezer, not so Rabbi Elezer, Rabbi Yoshua, shlolachlutz. We say Rabbi Elezer now becomes like Rabbi Yoshua, shlolachlutz. So when we paskin halacha like both lechumra, that you put on tefillin on the second day and you don't take it off, right? Our understanding is that we made Rabbi Elezer in." To Rabbi Yeshua, that now on the second day, you don't take off the film once you put it on. Vin Kani, and if that's the case, name Aloha Rabbi Elezer. So let's say Aloha is like Rabbi Elezer. Now, this line, Vin Kani, name Aloha Rabbi Elezer, is a very difficult line. And all of the Mepharshim have a very great difficulty with it. The what to do with it, the Gra changes the whole Girsa in the Gemara here. It's not clear what the line means. Literally, I'll tell you the line for you. Literally means, if that's the case, let's say Allah is like Rabbi Eliezer. But that can't be the meaning of the line. Because we're not paskin like Rabbi Eliezer straight. But paskin like Rabbi Eliezer straight would mean that we paskin that you do take off tefillin all the other days the Panim Chadosh has come. So the line can't be read the way it's written here in the Yerushalmi literally. It can't be read literally. So therefore, the best scenario, the best interpretation I have is the interpretation, the girsa which is given by the Gra and others, which is in Kaney, name a little cry blessing, they tack on the word Benesina. Let's say that Locha is like Rabbi Lazar Benesina, and that's it. In other words, well, if we say a little cry blessing by Nesina, we'll know already that we put on filling the other, filling. Like Rabbi Lezer, and we'll be able to deduce that we don't take it off, unlike Rabbi Yeshua. But that also is missing something. Because so what? So the Gemara is telling us that love is also like Rabbi Yeshua by Chalitza. I really don't have a good shot in this. I don't know. Let's see the Pnei Moshe. Maybe it'll help. I don't remember exactly what he says. Let's see the last Pnei Moshe here. Vinkani, if that's the case, name of Rabbi Lezer. Klomar, in other words, the Mitamea Shas. The Gemara is asking the question. If on the second day you don't, even on the second day you don't remove them, why is it necessary to say halok Rabbi Yeshua b'chalitza? Rabbi Yeshua gufei, according to Rabbi Yeshua himself, mishlishi ve'elchu d'kamar. Rabbi Yeshua himself is only saying you take it off from the third day. And if you're going to say that we don't, even on the second day, don't take it off, so therefore only say by and then we understand that only by the Sina Halach is like him, but not by removal, even on the second day, don't take them off. Alright, that's basically Pei Moshe is telling you, like I said. But again, I don't understand what we lose by saying hello, sir, Rabbi Yeshua, by Chalitza. But so, again, as I say, this line is difficult to understand, and we'll best admit that we don't understand it than try and distort it. Let's give out Chav Beis Amud Aleph now. A line got, but this is only the Vilna Shasta that goes from one page to the other. So they're not standardized. No, the Shasta are not standardized. You should have Chav Beis Amud Aleph right now, okay? Everybody has Chav Beis Amud Aleph? Says my Am Rabbi, you don't have it? The Gra, by the way, I will tell you one. The Gra takes out the whole line here. Mora says, Gra says, Am Rabbi Yossi Brabun, V'in Kini, name Elohim Krabi Lezer. But he takes out the whole line before that. Just says, Am Rabbi Yossi Brabun, and then goes straight to V'in Kini, name Elohim Krabi Lezer. I had another way of thinking about this afternoon, which is to say that it's not a question, but it's rather just a statement. The in normally means in Cain. It should mean v'im Cain, but maybe it's read v'im Cain. If that's the case, Nema, that's why we said halacha is Rabbi Lezer, but again only Benesina, and not completely like Rabbi Lezer. But I think I'm just confusing you more because I'm confused, so it's better just to go on.
There are different manuscripts.
Gazillion manuscripts. Okay, gazillion
so
manuscripts.
Some that would are you saying that the Gra is going like a particular manuscript that was aware of?
The Gra amended and stuff on his own.
Okay.
See, in Bavli we don't do it. What's fascinating about Yerushalmi is in Bavli we never make emendations on our own. Almost never. The Bach did emendations. Change the text. The Bach did, the Marshal did a little bit, but generally we shy away from it. But Yerushalmi, it's like, open season. Everybody plays games with your souls because they're so obviously messed up that people do it all the time.
Eventually, occasionally find manuscripts that agree with.
No, there are no manuscripts anymore.
Okay.
All the manuscripts which we have, and they're almost none. The original publishers of Yerushalmi, the Sansino edition, claimed they had 4 manuscripts. But we never found their manuscripts. And we really have very little to go on.
Sansino in Italy.
Sansino in Italy. Okay. The real, not Sansino in English, the real
right,
Sansino. Yeah, not like the Sansino in English. Okay, I'm Rabbi Bone. Rabbi Bone said, very, very fascinating, Joshua. It says you should recall the day in which you left Egypt, all the days of your life. The days in which you're involved in living. Not days in which you're involved in death. That's why he says people are involved with Mesim are apart from Kriya Shema. Because they're not Yimei Chayecha. They're Yimei Mesim. Tani, we learned. A person wants to be stranger with himself. In other words, a person who's a Shomer on a Mace. And he wants to say Shema, is not permitted to do so. So now the Gemara asks, why not? Lama. Is it because of the dignity of the dead person? In other words, it's not dignity for the dead person to leave him and go say Shema. Is it because there's nobody to bear the body? In other words, they're carrying it, transporting from place to place. If he goes to read Shema, there might not be enough pallbearers. Says what's the nafkimina? What's the difference between the two opinions? If there's somebody else who could take his place as a pallbearer, if you're going to say it's because of the dignity of the dead body, also, regardless, you're not allowed to leave the dead body and go say Shema. If you're going to say it because you don't have another pallbearer, this guy will substitute for a while. And that'll be Hareish L'mishisa Maso. Then you can take the substitute for a few minutes instead. No, you can't say in front of the mace because the mace can't do the mitzvah. Right. It says the Gemara in this respect, Vatani, didn't we learn, Potter Mithilas Lulav, if you're watching a mace, you're Potter from the Lulav. Now, so the Gemara says, you don't have to wear to shake Lulav.
But when is the mace a mace only when it's completely dead, or is a mace?
No, only when it's dead, stone dead.
I mean, he's not breathing on machines.
Nothing. Dead. So Nagmar understood, when are you taking lulav? It must be taking the lulav on first day yontif of Sukkos. On first day yontif of Sukkos, you can't carry the mace anyway. The mace is muktzah on yontif. So if that's the case, if you're exempt from lulav on yontif because you're in the presence of a mace, it must be not because of the pallbearer issue, but because of the dignity of the dead body. You can't do mitzvahs in front of him or go away and do mitzvahs. Says more, no, not necessarily. Maybe it's talking about Chol HaMoed. And a Chol HaMoed, you could be bearing the dead body, and maybe the reason why exempt from lulav is because you'd be bearing the dead body instead. Says the right, you have to wear tzitzis in the pants for that reason. Says body, right? So, Islach LeMeivar B'Chov Lo B'Yontif. Can you say it's talking about weekday and not a Yontif? So, therefore, clearly, it must be that you're Potter from Kiyush Shomer because of the dignity of the dead body. Says Mar, no. It could be even on Yontif. It's not because of the dignity of the dead body, but rather because of the needs of the dead body. Hi, you can't carry him on Yontif. Yes, but you can go bring him a coffin and shrouds. Like that which it says over there in Masechta Shabbos, that even on Shabbos and Yontif, you can make preparations. You can walk out 2,000 amos to the edge of the Tchum Shabbos, lefakeach liskei kala, to make sure that right after Shabbos or Yotam, you're ready to involve yourself in the details of a marriage, valiskei meis, or in the details of a death, lohavi lo, to bring for the dead body, aron, a coffin, tachrichin, and shrouds, chalilim, flutes, umakornos, and women to lament. So that's the case. Even our tribe is the author. We have a scenario which it's like you're bearing the burden of the dead body, which is that you have to involve yourself in preparations for the funeral. So that's why maybe you're putting from Shema, not because of the dignity of the mace. So leave it up. Leave it up in the air. No, you walk to the place where right after Shabbos you can make the preparations. Okay, Maimasai Kovin doesn't mean this. This is something which we don't do nowadays. In the old days, you used to turn over the beds in the house of an Ovil. They used to turn over the beds in order that you at least to sleep on the back of the beds. Surely isn't relevant to our beds. In the old days, beds were turnoverable, but nowadays they're not. So when do they do it? Mishiyotza Mesi Pesach Chotzer. Dear Rabbi Lezer, once the mace has left the opening of the courtyard of that house, according to Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shulman Mishiyotza Mago, once the grave is sealed. Ukshemesa Gamliel Ragamliel died, Shemishiyotza Mishiyotza Pesach Chotzer. Once his body left the opening of the courtyard, Rabbi Lezer said to his students, "Kofas Amitos, turn the beds over." Kshenista Magolel, when the grave was sealed, Amar Rabbi Yeshua Kofos HaMitas, and Rabbi Yeshua said, turn over the beds. Amar Lo, they said, too late, Kvar Kafinu, should be, Kvar Kafinu, Ray, turn them over, Api Zokin, based on the Psak of Rabbi Lezer. Be'er Shabbos, Zokin, HaMitas, on Erev Shabbos, you turn your bed upright, Umotzei Shabbos, Umotzei Shabbos, Ukovi, turn them upside down again, because there's no Avelus on Shabbos. Tarnay, we learn, Dargosh, a dargosh is a type of bed which the Lord is going to discuss in Amud Beis. These kefes veino nichbeis. You turn on its side, you don't turn it upside down. Rabbi Shimon ben Lazar, Rabbi Shimon ben Lazar says, "Let me give you chabeis on the base." That's page 44. Right, today they have to do sleep on beds, they don't sleep on the floor. Some people are machmir do sleep on the floor, but it's not required.
What's the reason they did that?
Take away the pillow, right, like Tisha B'Av. What?
Why?
It's a sign of mourning. Says Rav Shimon Lozomer, sign of mourning. You don't sleep on your bed. Like you said, we don't have the same luxury. Like you sit low. Same idea. Rashi Melozer Meir Shomet Kal Barnitim, a dargash was made with straps which held up the mattress. So the straps were placed into the rails along the sides of the bed. So you remove those straps so the mattress falls to the ground. Shomet Kal Barnitim Shlov Adayo, that's sufficient. You don't have to turn it upside down. Rabbi Yitzchak B'Shem Rabbi Shimon Levi said, I look at Rabbi Shimon Lozzi, you just loosen the straps. Rabbi Yaakov Barach B'Shem Rabbi Yossi said, Mito Shenaklitea only in the Yordan. If you have a bed which has removable bed posts, removable legs, so only the Yordan means it can be plugged and removed, you don't have to turn the bed upside down, you remove the legs, Shomton v'dayin, that's sufficient. Ezo mita v'ezo dargosh, was it between a bed and a dargosh? Rabbi said, kosher b'sarin yal gufa, wherever the straps which hold the mattress go over the top of the wooden frame, zui mito. Kosher b'sarin yal gufa, anytime the straps which hold the mattress go through the wooden frame, zeu dargosh, that's a dargosh. Ah, yes, we're not going to speak about it. And then we learn, hamito, a bed, va'arso, mishiyushufa mi oradag, where they consider to be complete and suitable to be makabel tuma. Because only completed vessels are become tame when you polish them with fish skin. Because fish oil was the way they polished them in the old days. So says where if by a bed you put the belts over the wood, Imasai Galgufa lays it over shuffle, why do you have to polish the wood? Nobody's going to see the wood. By a dargosh, I would understand why you polish the wood. Why? Because the wood is exposed. Because the cables go through the wood. But by a mita, why do you have to polish the wood? You don't see the cables anyway. Rabbi Lezer says, you know what? This mission story about Tipoter, explain that mission story about Be'ilin Arsosa. By those beds, by those cesarean beds, these little coffin which have holes. All right, basically we have three types of beds. The dargash, which has the straps go through, the mito, which has the straps go above, and the arso kisaraisa, where the straps go through as well. How we know that an avel has to turn his bed upside down? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Krispa. Interesting Jewish name there. Rabbi Krispa B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan said, "V'yeshvu ito la'aretz," and said they would sat with him to the ground. Al'aretz cakes, because God doesn't say they sat on the ground. El v'yeshvu ito la'aretz, to the ground. Davar shu samuch la'aretz, they sat on something which was next to the ground. Mikan, from here we derive, shayu yishenim al gabi mitos kufos, that by avelus they would sleep on beds which were turned over. But, so they would be low down to the ground. Bar kapara omar, that's why we said, to expand that a little bit, they have to turn them over to make them low down to the ground because the bed, the legs were fixed. That's why if the legs are removable, all you have to do is remove the legs. But where the legs are not removable, in order to get the bed down low to the ground, you have to turn it over on its back. Okay? Says more further, and now we have a little bit of a logic for this, or a gadita about this. says more. Bar Kapur Amar, Bar Kapur says that Hashem comes to the Oval and says, Ikuni Nachas Toiva had one good image, a Tzelem Elokim, Libesog Beitzcha had in your house, the house where the person just died and where the Avelim is sitting Shiva. The Garamtani Kofa, you caused me to stoop it. In other words, I had to take away because the Jewish people or the world is sinning. Since I had to cause it to stoop down low to the ground, you stoop down your bed and sit low down to the ground as well. Okay, and so there's a relationship. The dead person is lowered down into a grave into the ground. We sit closer to the ground as a sign of empathy, as a sign of sympathy. Says the Gemara, Bista Mafkin Lishno Samriya, there are those who darshan the language of Kfiya Samita differently. They said v'yichbeh, it's that which you should. It's not to lower it, but it's kafe asarsur, like the agent of Beis Din smites, beats the people who don't listen to the court order. He's kofe them atchiyome rotzani. He beats them until they agree to the court order. So to here we say that the person who is an avelus, he beats his bed down so it's in the further towards the ground. Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yossi Tarvayin, they both said, B'shem, Hashem and Lakish, Charam Arid, Neyma Yoshem and Mito Kfuya, why do you sleep in a bed which is low down to the ground, overturned, Shenor Balai, in order that you should wake up at night, V'nizkar Shu Avel, and remember that you're an Avel? Says the Gemara, that means, say the Mefarshim, I should say, that means that if you wake up in the middle of the night, you remember that you're an Avelus. And not do things that you're not supposed to do, such as, I guess, have relations with your wife, or bathe, or all sorts of other things. So he wants you, if you wake in the middle of the night, to remember you're not available. So I remember that by making you sleep on an overturned bed. The other one said, not only that, since you're sleeping on an overturned bed, you're uncomfortable. Who know it, Balila? You're going to wake up in the middle of the night, Venice Shulavel, and remember Novel. Well, it's not only do we want you to, if you wake up, to remember your Novel, we want you to wake up and remember your Novel. That's also part of the Novel.
So why don't they want us to remember that now?
It's not clear. Probably just because our beds are not constructed the same way.
We could still sleep on a
But our mattresses are comfortable anyway.
But we're not supposed to be comfortable.
They didn't require us not to sleep on a mattress. So that's why, because it's not so much an issue of suffering. It's an issue of empathy when being down low to the ground or remembering that you're not available. So our mattresses are so comfortable that it's hard to... That's usually by Tisha B'Av, not so much by Avelus. It's not as we call by Tisha B'Av, it's supposed to have Tzara on the Korban.
Right.
By Avelus, it's more any concept of empathy, the Yerushalmi say. No, it's not part of the requirements. No. Kfiya Samita is not the same thing as take away your pillow. It's to remind you that you're not supposed to make your No, it's not inherent in it. No, it's not inherent in
it. If you put it on the floor, you wouldn't be wrong in putting it.
No, you wouldn't be wrong. It's not just not required.
Right.
Okay, it says more Avil Kozmar Shemesa Mutal Fara. If Avil, as long as he hasn't yet buried the dead body, the Avil is with him in the house, Ogla Tzachaveh should not eat in that house. She eat it by a friend's house. Ve'en l'chavir if he has no friends by which to eat. Ogle b'ayisach, she eat in another house. Ve'en l'chavir if you have no other house by which to eat. Oitza mechitza, you can make a mechitza in your house. Ve'en and eat in the same room. Ve'en l'chavir if you can't make a mechitza in front of the dead body. Hovich is part of l'chavir. You turn around and you face the wall. Ve'en you sit. Velo mesim, but you don't recline. Velo chokot turk, you shouldn't eat all that you want to eat. Velo shos go turk, not drink all that you want to drink. Because how can you haven't yet buried your dead body? It's not right. Velo chobasar, and oinin is forbidden to eat meat. Velo shos yai, not allowed to drink wine. Ve'imazan love, he can't join a zimun. Ve'imbirich, if he makes brachas, ain oni machravame. And oinin is not supposed to make any brachas. Because if he's parted from all mitzvahs until his dead body is buried. Therefore, if others make a bracha, it doesn't answer after them amen either. This is only true b'chol on a weekday, because he can bury his dead body. Avol b'Shabbos, when he can't bury the dead anyway, he can recline and eat. He can eat meat and drink wine. He can eat all he wants. And drinks all he wants. He joins Zimun, a Zimun. And if he makes a bracha, we answer after Mamin. If others make a bracha, he answers Mamin after them. Shingam said not only that. Holy title is clear. Once I allowed him all this stuff, he's asked to do all other mitzvahs. In other words, anointing is exempt from mitzvahs on weekdays, but not on Shabbos. Why? If I allowed him to eat and drink, which is temporal life, Kosher Chayilom certainly has to engage in mitzvahs and go to shul and daven and all that kind of stuff. All of Shabbos and Yotav. Rabbi Yehuda Pad said to Shem, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Halo Kershing Amliya, that on Shabbos, anointing is Chayib and all mitzvahs. Now, Nimsar L'Rabim, once the mace is being given over to the masses, meaning the people in charge of burial, Oichel Basar V'Shrei Siyayin, he can drink meat, eat meat and drink wine. And Nimsar K'tov, once it's given over to poor bearers, literally shoulder porters, Kmishrim Zeram Ziv is given over to the Chevra Kadisha. And you know, that's why, once the mace is on a plane going to Eretz Yisrael, the people who are not going with the mace already have all the lachs of Shiva, they're not owning him anymore. Only the person who continues to travel with the mace remains an owning. The people who stay behind, they begin their avails immediately. Okay? Because again, once they gave over the mace to whoever's going to involve themselves in the actual burial, the Chevra Kadisha or Elal or whoever, then who transporters also as well, then that's considered already to be enough that the Avelus begins. It's not talking about Shabbos, it's talking about weekdays.
No, but on Shabbos there's no Eve.
On Shabbos there's no Avelus anyway.
For okay? Nobody.
For anyone. No Aninus for anybody anyway. Says the Gemara, Kadomach Rabbi Yasa, when Rabbi Yasa died, Kavar Rabchir Barva, Rabchir Barva was his student, accepted by himself Avelov, he accepted by himself to mourn him. However, and Echlum Basav Ashkin Chamor, but since he wasn't an Onei, an Onei can only be a relative. Even though he accepted upon himself to be an Ovel, he's not an Onei, so therefore, even before the mace was buried in for his Rebbe, Rabbi Yasa was buried, so Rabbi Chia Barva was already eating meat and drinking wine. So too, Kadamach Rabbi Chia Barava. When Rabbi Chia Barava died, Kavar Shmur Yitzchak was his student, accepted upon himself Avel, accepted upon himself mourning, Vachli Basar Vashki Chamer, but already, he didn't accept, there was no Aninus, and therefore he ate meat and drank wine. However, Kadamach Rabbi Shmur Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak died. Then, Kavi Rabbi Zira Avelov, Rabbi Zira accepted Avelus, Vaichel Tapuchin. And before the mace was buried, he only ate lentils. Meimar said, Kamadu Minoga. Like the Onanim after Minog, even though he wasn't strictly an Onanim, because only his Rebbe, not his relative, but he decided to be Machmir, and like the Onanim are forbidden to eat meat and drink wine, he also didn't eat meat and drink wine, he only ate lentils. Rabbi Zeir Midmach. Rabbi Zera himself was dying. We're going down generation to generation, by the way. I don't know if you noticed that. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yassi, Rabbi Chia Bar Abba was sitting in Shiva for him. Chia Bar Abba, Rabbi Shmuel Yitzchak was sitting in Shiva for him. Shmuel Yitzchak, Rabbi Zera was sitting in Shiva for him. Now Rabbi Zera's dying. Pukid. He commanded, Umar, and he said, look, now the next line has so many different interpretations. I want to give you my interpretation, but then I'll give you another couple of interpretations. Just goes on to the next Amun. They'll give out Chav Kimel Amrav. But I want Chav Kimel Amrav back from you. Don't trust you guys. Says the Gemara. He said, Lotakamala Yoma Dein Avelo. Don't accept by yourself today Avelus, Ulamacha Mizrachaya, and tomorrow to eat, drink, and make merry. In other words, he said, this is my interpretation. He said, if you're going to accept upon me, you Avelus, because you might tell me to fine. But all 7 days. Not today to make Avelus and tomorrow to make Ois Avelus. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is the exact opposite. Another interpretation given by the Farshim is that don't be accepted by yourselves one day Avelus, but not the next day, Mizrachaya, meaning a Suda Savroa. In other words, don't accept the next 20 days. Do one day Avelus, and the next day, don't make the avelus of the suuda of avelim. On the contrary, the next day you should be able to eat and drink in a regular fashion. So according to this interpretation, exact opposite. We say to the students, only keep one day avelus for me, not more than one day. So we have two diametrically opposed pshatim here. One pshat is don't eat today and tomorrow feast, but accept all 7 days avelus. The interpretation is, don't eat today and tomorrow also eat. Don't be avel today and tomorrow also keep the meals of avelus, but rather only keep avelus for one day, not more than one day over me when I die. Okay? Rabbi Yitzchok Breid, last meister for today, we're just going to get into that. Rabbi Zira. Rabbi Yitzchok Breid, the Rav, have a kesuva. So anyway, it's difficult as this line to say this, the word have is a mistake. Yitzchok Breid, Rav, kesuva means the sofer. He used to write stuff. He was a kosei. Matzei Onis, so he's sitting shiva. Onis, literally an accident befell him, he was sitting shiva. Von like Rabbi, and they came into him, Rabbi Mana and Rabbi Yudon. V'hava chamer tov, and Mana and Yudon came to console, and they brought some good wine. Vishtun sakin, they drank a lot of it. V'gachkin, and they started laughing. L'machar asum bayin l'meil gabei. So the next day, Rabbi Mana and Rabbi Yudon had such a good time the day before, they wanted to come again. Be Menachem Ovel again. So Amrle Rabbanan, the rabbi said, nah. Hachim bar nash ovel chavrei. This is what a person does to his friend knows. This is what you do to an Ovel. Lo havin chasin esmo. The only thing missing yesterday is Elo Meku Mirkin is that you didn't get up and dance. In other words, it's so frivolous and unbecoming behavior, we can't let you come back today to be Menachem Ovel the same way. Stay away today. So the moral of the story is that you don't bring good wine to an oven, even though an oven's allowed to drink wine. You don't bring good wine because, not the cheap stuff either. And the cheap stuff also makes you shicker. And then, because then the behavior might become unbecoming. Absolutely, an oven's allowed to drink wine and eat meat. Except for aninas, he's allowed to do so. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. Give me back the Chav Kimmel round, please.